This is KBNF Regional News for Wednesday, July 9th. I'm Patricia Naft. The movement to change Colorado National Monument into a national park hit a setback Monday. KBNF's Laura Pomisano has the details.
U.S. Senator Mark Udall and Congressman Scott Tipton say they won't put forward legislation to make the Colorado National Monument into a national park this year. In April, Udall and Tipton released a community-driven proposal to redesignate the monument. The comment period on the proposal ended June 30th. In a release issued Monday, Tipton cites a lack of community consensus and support as his reason for not drafting legislation to change the monument status. Terry Chappelle is with the Grand Valley Region Citizens for a National Park, a group lobbying for the change.
The fact that they've stepped back during an election year hasn't changed any of the facts. If it's a timeout, then we're willing to wait until after the elections have passed. At the same time, Udall has also said he will keep the discussions going for national park status. And we were deeply, deeply disappointed that Congressman Tipton felt like he needed to step back at this point.
Chappelle says her organization will continue to push to have the Colorado National Monument made into a national park. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
A fatal car accident happened over the weekend near Ophir. Four people were leaving a 4th of July fireworks show, driving south on Highway 145. Their car went off the road and down the steep embankment, rolling hundreds of feet to Islam Road, and then continuing to roll down the hill. Three people, all in their 20s, were killed almost instantly, but the fourth person walked away unharmed. San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters says some of those who died were teachers. Colleen McCain Nelson of the Wall Street Journal traveling with the president reports after about an hour at the Wazi Supper Club, President Obama headed down 15th Street and greeted the crowds that had formed, shaking hands and meeting people. Obama worked both sides of the street with waves, high fives, and fist bumps. One onlooker wore a large horse head, but it's unclear what message he hoped to convey to the president. He spent about 10 minutes shaking hands along two blocks and chatting with enthusiastic onlookers and headed into the Winecoop Brewing Company. Among the first people to greet the president was Kaylin May Eric from Tyler, Texas. She was leaving the bar with her husband, Alan Eric, with teary eyes, showing the challenge coin that Obama had given her. She told him that her older brother, Marine Sergeant Kenneth May, had been killed in Afghanistan in 2010. The president asked about her parents, got a challenge coin from an aide, and gave it to her, she said, telling her that he usually gives them to vets who collect them. So this is for your brother, Obama told her. President Obama is scheduled to deliver a speech on the economy this morning at 10:20 this morning in Denver's Cheesman Park. Colorado Public Radio reports the speech is notable for who won't be there.
Top Democrats in Colorado will not be joining Mr. Obama on stage today. Specifically, Governor John Hickenlooper and Senator Mark Udall, both up for re-election in November. Though the candidates dispute it, analysts and Republicans say that the president's low poll numbers have become a liability in the midterm elections. Senator Udall did attend a fundraiser with Mr. Obama last night, but that was closed to the press. The president's speech is expected to focus on income inequality. He'll be introduced by a Denver woman whose employer reportedly raised her hourly wage following Mr. Obama's plea to Congress to raise the minimum wage earlier this year. Ben Marcus, Colorado Public Radio News.
The word fracking has come to mean drilling in general for oil and gas, and a major concern for communities and environmentalists in Colorado and elsewhere. In reality, the process of hydraulic fracturing is a specialized procedure used to create cracks in shale deposits thousands of feet underground, which in turn releases trapped natural gas. There are hundreds of fracked wells in Garfield County. Often you can see them from the highway. Recently, Aspen Public Radio got a tour of a fracking operation run by WPX Energy near Parachute.
I just wanted to give you kind of a point of view of what our driller is looking at.
Jeff Kirtland handles communications for WPX and is ushering us into the brain of a rig. We're now several stories high in an air-conditioned room about the size of a small RV. It's pretty calm and quiet.
This is like living in the Hilton, huh, David?
Yes, sir.
David Duke is sitting in a chair surrounded by computer screens, manipulating a joystick. Duke is the driller. He's controlling a drill bit, spinning thousands of feet underground and eyeballing his progress with updates on the screens.
With all these things, it tells us where the bit is. Like right now, with this tally, I've reset my depth, and after I've accomplished, it'll self-track and tell me exactly where the bottom of the casing is, and it's at 4,440 feet right now, approximately. It's really close to that.
Through the window, we see workers feeding pipe into the well Duke is drilling. They've spent a lot of time doing that. Again, Jeff Kirtland.
These guys work 12 hours a day for 14 days, and they get 2 weeks off, and then they come back and do it again.
At this drilling pad, they're on the eighth of nearly two dozen wells.
Thanks for having us.
Oh yeah, no problem, sir.
We'll bring pizzas next time.
Then we leave this cool haven, the brain of the drilling rig, for the rest of the tour. This is the world you might think of when talking about drilling. There's heavy machinery everywhere, and workers are stained with grease and dirt. Below the brain center, there's a series of pipes for each newly drilled well.
What you can see underneath the rig here is the blowout preventer. That's one of the major safety aspects of all drilling operations is this big valve that sits under the floor, over the wellhead, that ensures that the pressure stays consistent. If that thing fails, that's when you have problems. So, time you go.
The entire pad spans about an acre and a half, and on one side there are the sludgy leftovers brought up by drilling. They're called cuttings and still have some oil mixed in. Kirtland holds out his hand.
These are pellets that have microorganisms infused in them. Once they hit the moist cuttings, they will start to eat at those hydrocarbons to a non-detect level.
And creating a potting soil that will help reseed this pad in a few months. Once the wells are put in, much of the heavy equipment is removed and the pad shrinks down. As our little group continues its tour, there's fracking going on deep below us. Recycled water and chemicals are being pumped down into the newly drilled wells. After they've been hydraulically fractured or fracked, natural gas will flow up to the surface. Fracking depends on heavy pumps that need a lot of power. That's no small issue in this rural location, and it comes from almost a mile away, down the road and around a hill. This part of the operation is subcontracted out to Halliburton.
You want to tell us really quick just some expectations?
Yep, absolutely, guys. By the way, welcome up here to the frack pad. Everything that you see off that's marked off in yellow is a chemical restricted area. The only way you can get back there is if
It's arguably the most striking part of the tour. A Halliburton supervisor named Tony shows us around an old well pad where a mass of pulsating hoses writhe on the ground. They're between two rows of semi-trucks.
So going in between those trucks, if they were to snap, we have an issue going on. It is going to be loud.
Engines on the back of these trucks are pumping the thousands of gallons of sand, reused water, and chemicals needed for fracking at high pressure into those hoses. They connect back to the newly drilled wells, freeing up natural gas in the shale rock below. Controversy over drilling and fracking is growing, and Colorado residents will decide this fall whether to let communities restrict them. Jeff Kirtland points to safety regulations and says WPX Energy goes above and beyond them just to make sure. They weren't involved in benzene pollution from a spill last year near Parachute. Still, the company had to convince Garfield County that their version of fracking was a good idea.
So as we began to demonstrate that our innovations and our efficiencies are really geared toward really making everybody's life easier from an impact standpoint, then they began to see, you know, allowed us to carry on in doing that. You know, they trusted us in that respect.
This fall, voters will decide whether they agree, too. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.